He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Good morning, Dr. Brown. Missed you last week. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Melissa?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. I can't help but notice that everyone is either nursing a cold
right?
and just trying to make it through, or people are homesick. I mean, I don't know anyone who's not sick right now. And if they are healthy, I think they're hiding. I think they're all hiding out because they don't want to get sick. It's quite astonishing, though. Everyone is literally sick right now. Everyone.
Yeah. You called it, right?
I mean, I think you called it. And
we
I think said, I agreed
we
with you.
We said the fall was going to be bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
We knew said the fall would be bad and the viruses are back.
Yeah. Are you sick? I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah. I actually did have a cold myself. Yes.
I know, I'm sick too.
non-COVID, non-flu.
Yeah, just
it's funny. That's our new thing, right? No, negative flu, negative COVID.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Just a regular virus.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny because the other day, I came back from Florida, and since then I've had like this. You know, when you swallow and you feel like you have a lump in your throat, like that's what it feels like. I don't have a sore throat, but it feels like I have a lump, and so I thought, you know, maybe it's an ear infection, but then my ears didn't hurt and I tested no COVID, no flu, nothing. And I'm like, well, you're just sick. That's just what you are. So that's where we're at. And you know, the personal hygiene and all that, and you know, don't go hugging everybody. Like I you know, we just go back to what we've been doing, basically, is what it's been like. But I have noticed, so I have a couple of things on this. I have noticed though that we are going back up when it comes to COVID cases
right.
and flu cases are now just kind of getting out of control, which we expected. It seems like RSV is flattening a little bit. Tell us what a snapshot looks like in the hospitals right now.
So right now we are still seeing relatively low numbers of both.
Oh, good.
So we are seeing people who are positive, but we are not seeing it. It's interesting because we you know, the hospital is monitoring sort of two things. One, we monitor the patients, but we also monitor our employees. So we see sort of what's happening sort of with us in this area. And I would say from our standpoint of the patients, I would say still few, less than 5% of both the flu and COVID. We did see last week an increase in the influenza, you know, people who didn't get their flu shot or, you know, had comorbidities or other chronic illnesses. We have seen, we did see a spike in our employees with the flu, as we first seen in the schools a couple weeks before. So we weren't super surprised about that. And now we've seen a little bit more of our employees with the COVID and less with the flu. So I think, but I have heard that it's back in the schools again. So we may be seeing in another couple weeks another uptick of flu.
I mean, I was going to say we saw, unfortunately, our first flu death earlier this month, but we haven't seen anything since, right?
Right. Yeah.
That's good. I mean, that's
good.
I mean, I'm sad
it's
for
good.
The one person, obviously, but do you think, though, that we're going to, it sounds like we might take a turn for the worse, though. Like, the flu is just getting started, it seems
well,
like.
I mean, we were a little early in the flu season. People were getting it early. There were some August, September cases. You know, we saw it in October, November, now December. We've definitely we're going to see more of an uptick of the flu. I will tell you, and I think we've talked about this before, is it is definitely being seen where if you get the flu shot, now again, the flu shot, and people should know this now with COVID, the flu shot does not prevent you from getting the flu. But what we have found is that people who get the flu shot, they feel sick for a day or two, and then they're better, as opposed to those who did not get the flu shot. They're getting pretty sick out for a week or longer and pretty sick.
Yeah, really sick. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's pretty bad.
So we're talking to Dr. Brown this morning, and as I said, actually earlier in the show today, I had said that Dr. Brown, I think, called this over a year ago, that, listen, 2022 fall is not going to be fun. And it's not. I have to say, every parent I've spoken to, every person I've talked to has said this is the worst fall they remember in quite some time.
Yep,
and,
absolutely.
You know, and it's not one of those moments of I told you so. It's more of like, oh, okay, well, there you go. We sort of saw it coming, and here it is. My question for you, Dr. Brown, and this is not to get political whatsoever, so please, if it does get that way, just be like, Melissa, we're not talking about this. I noticed that we have an amoxicillin shortage. And I think what's frustrating is, as I just mentioned, you know, Little Connecticut, you know, and I'm not saying that what you do is little, but, you know, I think a local doctor is saying, hey, it's going to be a really awful season. And basically kids were not really impacted by COVID over the last 2 years. So they're really going to get it bad. And I think that's what we're seeing. I know when Chase was sick, it lasted for 2 months. And I mean, I feel like he's constantly sick. And it's not the, oh, germs in preschool. It's he's constantly really sick. Fevers and diarrhea and coughs and the sniff. Like, it's bad all the time. And I think more kids are like that now. So what, in your professional opinion, do you feel like could have been done? I know, you know, the pills have a little bit longer of a shelf life, but like the liquid, which is what kids mostly can use or tolerate, we have a shortage of it right now, but we knew that this season was going to be so bad, especially for kids. Like, what would you have liked to have seen done, or what could we do in future?
I will give you the unpopular answer to this one.
Here we go.
And again, based on my specialty.
Yeah.
And my colleagues that are non-infectious disease docs have heard this from my specialty all the time. The majority of times that if it's a virus, you do not need antibiotics. So we're overusing antibiotics, which in my mind is a bad thing. So we shouldn't really have a shortage because a lot, if not all of these illnesses are viral. And no amount of antibiotics are actually going to treat a viral infection.
So I'm glad.
I think that's really important for people to know that you can't. I mean, using amoxicillin. I will give you examples. And again, I see the worst of the worst. But I can tell you numerous times where people have been put on antibiotics, and then they end up getting really severe diarrheal illness called C. difficile, which is becoming more and more predominant in the community. That's a really severe gastrointestinal bacterial infection that is caused by using antibiotics when they really shouldn't be used.
I just took a few calls in that break really quickly, Dr. Brown. People who want to talk a little bit more about what we were just diving into, which is amoxicillin, and I'm so glad you said what you said. First of all, I have somebody who has worked in pharmaceuticals for a while. I think that's what she did. I don't want to give her the wrong title, but she said, I'm so glad Dr. Brown is saying what he is saying because, first of all, there is a huge misconception that drugs like amoxicillin are going to help with viral infections. If anyone got that part of my story wrong, let me just correct it really quickly. My son has had chronic ear infections for the last 2 years because of mucus buildup. He actually was a candidate to get tubes last summer, but didn't qualify. So he did not, essentially. So the only time I've used amoxicillin on Chase is for his ear infections. But I'll get back to that in 1 second. Why then are doctors prescribing amoxicillin like crazy? And again, I'm not saying you should answer for everybody, but this is happening nationwide where this is the answer for RSV and for flu. I've never seen that before until this year. Chase had only been given amoxicillin. Even when I was a kid, it was amoxicillin only for ear infections, never for viral. Never.
Right. And listen, I can't answer why. I mean, I think there's a couple things that are out there. I mean, one is that it does take two. I mean, there's the patient and the physician, and you know what? Given sort of the demands on the physician and times, sometimes it's easier to prescribe an antibiotic than it is to sort of explain why not to. And then some people can say, you know, I've used antibiotics in the past and it's worked, but that may have not been a reason. So the answer is that it is twofold. It's a demand for the antibiotics, and it's just sometimes my colleagues do get really busy, especially pediatricians in this time, and it's mm-hmm. like, well, okay, we'll just give it to you, you know, and you know, you don't want to make
like
that mistake,
a peace of mind. Like you're like, hey, you know what? I don't want to sit here and fight with you. If you want to get the amoxicillin, fine, do it. But you just said something that I thought was very alarming, Dr. Brown, which is that if you take too many antibiotics, it's almost like diarrhea that never ends.
That's correct. And this has happened. This has happened more frequently over the years, and it could be. And we're seeing it, you know, even in a single course. I mean, I could tell you that I've even had friends who've received a course of antibiotics appropriately and ended up getting it from not in the hospital, actually, as an outpatient, ended up having severe diarrhea leading to admission to the hospital. So this is a real thing that we need to be really careful about. There are guidelines for physicians on when to use antibiotics and when not. you know, simple bronchitis. If everybody around you has a viral infection and then you get a viral infection, it's not a bacterial infection, it's a viral infection, and therefore you wait it out. It's symptomatic treatment, over-the-counter medications, and then it goes away. I mean, still follow up with your physician, but those are the ones that we need to know. So the amount of antibiotics that we should be using, if you think about it, again, having a shortage of amoxicillin doesn't make a lot of sense, because we know that this is all that you know, the majority of this, you know, 85, I want to say 90% of this is all going to be viral, mm-hmm. with some occasional bacterial secondary infections, which is pretty unusual. So that doesn't occur. So, but again, I think people need to be really careful. Even to the point, Melissa, I know this is not necessarily the same thing, but since I'm already here, you know, when we talk about antibiotic-free food like chicken, you know, that's in my mind, that's actually more of a medical thing. As an infectious disease doc and a hospital epidemiologist,
that's interesting.
That's really important because, yeah. Listen, it's not important from the fact that, at least for me, I mean, it's still important, but it's not important that they didn't get antibiotics. It's important that the antibiotics that animals get will actually leach out into the soil and into our water. So the bacteria that is normally in the environment is seeing antibiotics. And
wow.
That makes this type of resistant bacteria that we see in the hospital even more prevalent. So we need to be really careful about the whole use of antibiotics in general.
Okay, so then here's a quick question for you, Dr. Brown, because I go to you for everything. So, as I mentioned, in my own case, and I'm sure a lot of other people can follow, if you have chronic ear infections, for example, which is what you typically get amoxicillin for, or you continue to get this antibiotic for, what are some solutions? Like, are there more natural or holistic solutions instead of continuing to give antibiotics? I have to say, after talking to you right now, I have a little bit of a fear that I'm like, you know, giving my kid, he's, like I said, he's been on amoxicillin almost 8 times in the last 2 years, which
right.
I don't even know if that's considered severe or not. But I, you know, this is making me feel like, let me find an alternate option, because I trust my pediatrician. But sometimes, you know, they've got, like you said, thousands of patients. So to keep track of, oh, Chase has been on amoxicillin 8 times in the past 18 months,
right.
You know, maybe we don't give it to him again. Like, what would you suggest as an alternative?
So in those cases, Melissa, what I would suggest, and again, I know this is a little turfing, but I would have a conversation with your pediatrician.
Okay.
And say, look, because a lot of pediatricians, even though they have the chart in front of them, won't see that he received antibiotics 8 times in the year. That's a lot. That is a lot of antibiotics.
Yeah.
You know, most people get it once, if any, in a typical year. Getting antibiotics 8 times is you know, is quite a bit. So what I would say is that you have to have that conversation with the provider and say, listen, I don't, you know, we don't really want to give him antibiotics. Is there something else we can do? And I think that's where it's important. And a lot of people have sort of taken their health care into their own hands and say, listen, you know what, this, you know, I don't just want a pill. I want this. What can we do to sort of prevent this from happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's really important. And I think people just need to realize, because again, I think some things that people take don't realize that it definitely can have a problem later on for them. And antibiotics is definitely one of those.
I mean, is that issue of when you have too many antibiotics and then you have diarrhea, is that something that you have for life, or is it reversible?
It is reversible, but it does. So every time you take an antibiotic, it eliminates bacteria in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it will go to the area that's inflamed or infected to concentrate in that area. But that being said, it's a systemic antibiotic. So that means it goes absolutely everywhere. And you know where the majority of the bacteria is. It's in your gut.
Right.
So this back to this antibiotic will eliminate all of this good bacteria that you need in your gut. And there's been a lot of research out there on having good bacteria, your microbiome in your stomach. You know, having this good bacteria, because it helps with a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
It helps process vitamins. It helps process minerals. It helps process and digest things. So if you start altering the antibiotic microbiome, then it could affect your health. So again, this is this periods of time, but you know, that's where you kind of keep that in mind, that it is, you don't really want to change that. Now, there are medications you could take over the counter to help repopulate your GI tract, including things like acidophilus, you know, these Florastor, these are things that will actually, you can take that actually have bacteria in it.
But are those like probiotics?
Those are probiotics, okay. Exactly. Exactly.
Got it.
And then sometimes even to treat, I'm going to be gross because I just think you, I think you're appreciate it.
Yeah.
So in that really bad diarrheal infection,
mm-hmm.
one of the treatments is a fecal transplant.
Oh, interesting. I don't even
so
know
you
what
actually
that is.
you have to reintroduce bacteria from someone else. I mean, it's clean and there's obviously
right.
you go through a process for it, but you have to reintroduce bacteria from someone else.
Interesting.
To get your normal bacteria back.
Wow. That's just like going into uncharted territory. I've never even heard of that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's intense. Well, Dr. Brown, I think that you've really brought light to something that I don't even know if people realize. Like, I'm thinking amoxicillin, oh my gosh, our country did a bad job of being ready for a shortage. But you're saying we should have even had a shortage, not because we weren't prepared, but because we're giving it out almost too much, and that could be a real problem.
Over-prescribing.
Yeah.
Correct.
Over-prescribing.
Absolutely.
Couldn't think of the word. There you go. That's why
I have
you.
Absolutely. No, and thank you for at least bringing it up, because this is really important. It's something I've had to tell you my entire career on sort of
wow.
explaining to people why we don't give antibiotics as opposed to why we can just give it, just write you the script.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Dr. Brown, I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. I hope you feel better, and I'll talk to you soon.
You too.
Yeah. Thank you. Good Lord.
You're welcome.
No antibiotics. All right. We'll talk to you soon. That's Dr. Brown here on WICC.